Good morning. So glad you made the choice to be with us. If you are a guest, Joe's already said it, but I echo it. We appreciate you. You are our honored guest. We want you to know how much we appreciate you. We would like to recognize that you are here today. So if you haven't already done so, fill out a guest card for us, particularly if you are a first or second time guest, fill out one of those things for us. And if you, obviously, the collection plates already went by, you can just leave that in your pew and we will collect that following services today. If there is anything else that we can do for you, that is definitely something we want to know about as well. We love to serve here at the Turtle Lot Church of Christ, but we aren't mind readers. So if there is anything we can do to serve you, if there's any way we can help you and your family, we can pray for you, we can give you some food from our stocked pantry, we can talk to you about relationships, your marriage, whatever else it is that you need talking to about, we will be glad to listen and be glad to support you and encourage you and pray with you and for you. If you will let us know, you can use that guest card for that as well, or you can contact any one of our elders, our deacons, our office staff, me or John, anybody. We'll make sure we get you connected to someone who can help you in whatever way that you need help. We've been saying all this year, live for Christ. We've been saying all this year, live for Christ. Last year we said, yes, Lord. Yes. All right, you remember. We've said other things throughout the years as well. We've said, enter to worship, leave to. That's right, you remember. We've talked about all of these different ways. We've had themes for the year. And I want to say about the theme for this year, thank you. I've said that the past few weeks, but thank you for allowing me to select some of these themes and to preach with you and talk to you and to learn alongside with you. One of the things that I read as I was preparing for this week was there was a sage who asked himself three questions every day. One of those questions that he asked himself every day is, have I taught or tried to teach someone something that I haven't fully learned or mastered yet? And I thought about that for myself, and I've never done that. I've not mastered any of these things. So all the things that I preach to you, all the things that I'm sharing with you, I want you to know that I'm right here alongside you, that I'm on the journey with you. And next week, we're going to start a new theme. But I want you to know that the lessons that I preach, that I share with you, they're never intended to scare you. They're never intended to come across sanctimoniously. They're never meant to make you uncertain of God's amazing grace. Instead, I want you to know that all of us are trying to live for Jesus. All of us are trying to grow closer to Him and to serve Him and understand His Word. So that's what all of these lessons are about. Never to scare you. Never to try to make you feel like I think I'm superior to you, because I do not believe that at all. Instead, I think that we are trying together to live for Jesus. And that's what we've been saying all of this year. And we've talked about a number of ways to do that. But this week, we're going to continue that and think about drifting away a bit. It is the last Sunday of the year. And being the last Sunday of the year, it's the perfect time to evaluate where you are, to think about where you are in your walk with Jesus. And I think that whenever we think about drifting away, we can realize that it's something that's very easy to do. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says this, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Pay careful attention, lest you drift away. It requires absolutely no effort whatsoever to drift away. In fact, I heard a story about two young men. This isn't a funny story, so don't prepare to laugh at all. I heard a story about two young men who were fishing, and as they were fishing, they were near a dam, and they got closer and closer to the dam because they were fishing. And before they could look up, they realized they were too close. They were caught in the current, and they went over, and both those young men died. Isn't that a tragedy? They weren't doing anything besides paying attention to their fishing. They were drifting away, and it's something that we can do as well. The well-intentioned and malicious and everyone in between can drift away. The individuals who are powerful and the individuals who are weak can drift away. The good-hearted and the mean-spirited, Christians and non-Christians, whatever it is that our goal is, we can drift away from that goal if we aren't careful, if we aren't paying close attention. I want to lose weight. That might be one of your New Year's resolutions. And if you're not careful, by the end of January or February or March, you may have started eating sweets all over again, you see, drifting away from that goal. Our goal is to be with Jesus. Our goal is to get to heaven. Our goal is to live in the grace of Jesus Christ, because that's where we need to live. That's where we have to live if we want to be saved. No man can be saved apart from Jesus, and no man can be saved by his works alone. No matter how many good and wonderful and amazing things I do, if I don't do them by the authority of Jesus Christ, if I don't do them and live in the grace of God, then I won't be saved, you see? So we're saved by the grace, and we realize that's not by ourselves, that's the free gift of God. Of course, we've got to live our part of it, and we talk about that all the time, that we decide, and we've talked about, and we've said a number of ways that we live for this year, but we live in the grace of God, you see? It ends in disaster. Keep reading there in verses 1 through 3 of Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, we said that you can drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels, verse 2, proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? So the idea is escaping there. You only want to escape from something poor, from something evil, from something unpleasant. How shall we escape? What is your reward? What is in your future if you don't pay attention, if you aren't circumspect, if you aren't watching where you're going, if you aren't careful, if we want to say it that way, if you aren't paying attention, then you will drift away. You will escape this great of salvation. Thanks be to God that we can recover from these driftings away. It says in 1 John 1, verses 7 and 9, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In fact, prevent drifting away. So I'm saying to you this morning, church, and I want you to hear me, that you can drift away. Now, I don't know where you started January of 2015. I don't know what your goals were. I don't know what you wanted to do. I don't know if you decided with me and my family that you wanted to live for Jesus, but maybe you haven't done that exactly the way you wanted to this year. Maybe you haven't lived for Christ. Maybe you haven't given him your life. Maybe you haven't submitted to him. Maybe you've stumbled a few times, and that's only natural. All of us do. We all mess up, we all fail, but we see that if we aren't paying attention to him, then we can do that. But if we do pay attention to him, then we can stick to the truth. It says in Psalm 119 and verse 59 this: when I think on your ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. So the young men drifted over that dam. The young men drifted away. But when I think about God, whenever I dwell on him, when I meditate on his precepts, Psalm 1, 1 and 2, day and night, then I turn my feet toward you. We want to turn our feet toward Jesus. We want to turn our attention to him. The very first step in understanding these things, recovering from drifting away, from preventing drifting away, is self-evaluation. Evaluating yourself. This is what we often talk about this time of year, the first of the year around this time, because it's the end of something old and the beginning of something new. 2015 is going away, 2016 is beginning, a perfect time to evaluate yourself, you see? Evaluation is a biblical idea. Be doers of the word, it says in James 1, right? Not hearers only. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We often read in 1 Corinthians 11 on Sunday mornings, verse 28 says, let a person examine himself. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? If you want to know more about that passage, I encourage you to come back tonight. We'll try to understand what Paul meant whenever he said those words there. But we also see it in the Old Testament. Lamentations 3 and verse 40, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. If done properly, If we really think about it and we really pray about it and we really evaluate ourselves in the way that God would want us to, then we can do something amazing. It's an amazing thing to evaluate yourself and do better. I've been evaluated by elders, by members, by preachers, by others time and time again. Sometimes that makes me better. Sometimes it doesn't do anything at all because either it's not good advice or I don't listen to it, you see? But if it's done in the very best way, then it's something that can make a big difference. But all of this has to begin with the words that David said in Psalm 51. We can sing them and pray them at the same time. Do you want to sing it with me? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Do you hear the prayer that he uttered there? Create in me a clean heart. That's what he prayed. If you really want to evaluate yourself and you really want to grow from this experience this morning and all of 2015, you have to honestly evaluate yourself, create in yourself, and have God create in you a clean heart, a pure heart, that you're not trying to deceive yourself, you're trying to understand the truth. How do we do that? Three ways this morning. I want you and invite you to look with me. Look. That's what the man in the goggles or with the goggles is doing. He's looking. Look three different directions. First, look back. I invite you this morning to look back at 2015, to look back at your life. Now, I know, of course, that the New Testament talks about looking back, that there are times and looking back is a negative thing. Remember one of the shortest verses in the New Testament? Remember Lot's wife, right? Remember Lot's wife. Why would we remember Lot's wife? Because she looked back. They were commanded to leave Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain, and they were commanded not even to look back. She looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. So we realize there are times that we ought not to look back. In fact, Jesus over in Luke chapter 9 had some individuals come to him and say, "Hey, let me go bury my father first. Let me go take care of this. I just bought a yoke of oxen. I just bought all of these things. I've got to go and inspect them." And you know what Jesus said? No man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, there are times that we ought not to look back, but there are times that we need to look back as well. Again, Paul said that I forget those things that lie behind. So some things we put away that are behind us. But in order to analyze, in order to have a good analysis of what's going on in 2015 and in your life, it's profitable to look back at those things. We want to keep from drifting. Another way of phrasing it is, instead of looking back, remember. Remember. Over in the Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, to the church at Ephesus, Jesus says this, "I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." You've abandoned, you've left that love you had at first. I encourage you to look back, to remember the love that you had at the beginning. And many of you in this room are already Christians. Some of you aren't. But those of you who are Christians, you became a Christian because you were in love with Jesus. Or, Lord willing, you became a Christian because you were in love with Jesus. If you didn't become a Christian because you were in love with Jesus, think about your relationship to God and think about why we ought to do the things that God has commanded us. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's out of love that we do these things. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen or from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Unless you repent. Remember where you came from. In fact, that's a song that we sing sometimes. Remember where you came from or where I came from and where I could have been. Remind me, dear Lord, is what the song is. We have to look back and remember some of these things. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? Remember that?
Remember how you obeyed the gospel? In Acts 2 and verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who are Christians in this room this morning, you obeyed the gospel by being baptized, immersed into Jesus Christ, and coming up out of that water, a brand new creature, and receiving the Spirit of God. Don't you remember that the Spirit of God lives in you? Look back at that. Do you remember how in love you were with Jesus to do that? Do you remember how much courage it might have taken for you to walk down the aisle and do that before other individuals? Remember those things. Look back. Luke 15 and verse 17, in that parable of the prodigal son, some individuals call it the parable of the older brother. The prodigal son was out of the country. He was spending all of his money on riotous living. And then in verse 17, he came to himself, it says, and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? Let me paraphrase that for you. The prodigal son remembered. He looked back. He said, remember all of those things that were going on there? Remember all this food that we had? Remember how in love you were with Jesus? Remember how zealous you were? Now, I made mistakes whenever I first became a Christian. I made mistakes last week, and I'll probably make mistakes next week as well. I made so many mistakes trying to share my faith with others, pushing it on people. But remember how zealous you were for it? Remember how excited you were to share your faith and that you were a Christian? That's what I'm encouraging you to do this morning. Remember your first love. But also remember and look back at the weightier matters of the law. You know what we do sometimes? Sometimes we strain out the camel and strain out the gnat and swallow the camel, don't we? Right? We miss the forest for the trees. We're so involved in so many little things. Can you believe what that brother or sister wore to church on Sunday morning? I can't believe the ugly sweater the preacher wore on Sunday nights. I can't, just kidding, that's not a big deal. I know you know it's not a big deal. You were just razzing me, that's all right. It wasn't an ugly sweater, by the way, and I'll wear another one this evening if you're interested in coming and seeing some of my beautiful sweaters. But some things aren't a big deal, but there are some things that are a big deal, and that's what Jesus said over in Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you are hypocrites. You tithe your mint and your dill and your cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. Oh, we're given 10%. We're given the way we ought to, but you're not being merciful to people. You're not being forgiving to people. You're not being just. You're not being faithful. You see? So sometimes we neglect the weightier matters of law. Remember the important things. You see? That's what he's saying there. Remember that the Lord, or all the things that the Lord has done. Over in Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, take care. This is what God and Moses is saying to the people of Israel. He says, take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Remember all the things that the Lord has done. What I want you to do this morning, for 2015, for the first 30 years of your life, I'm going to turn 31 here in just a couple of weeks. Can you believe that? I can't believe it. 31 in a couple of weeks. Some of you say, man, he's old. Some of you say, man, he's still a speckled pup. But I'm going to do that. Remember the first 30, 31 years, 40 years, 50 years. Remember the last little bit, the last few decades of your life. Some of you who have several decades on you, think about those things. Think what the Lord has done for you in your life. Don't forget them. Remember them. It says the same thing over in Psalm 103 and verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, the wise man, the preacher says in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. So if you want to evaluate yourself, if you want to do it honestly, then look at how loving you were to God the Father and to the Son. Remember all the things that the Lord has done for you. Look back and think on those things. What a blessed life we live. How amazing it is that we can call ourselves by the Son of God. We can call ourselves by His name. We are not Daniel and Joe and Bill. We are Christians. That's how we identify ourselves. I'm not a preacher by trade. I'm a Christian by trade. That's what it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The vocation. In Kentucky, we had a vocational school. A vocational school is where you learned a vocation, where you learned a skill, where you got a job, where you trained for these jobs. You know what your job is? You know what my job is? Being a Christian, being a follower of Christ. Look back at the promise you made to Him if you want to evaluate yourself. But not only that, look in. Look back, and then look in. This is supposed to be introspective. Think about your heart and who you are at this moment. So we thought about who we were then, what God has done for us then. Now who are we now? Paul told Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. John wrote in 2 John 1 and verse 8, watch yourselves. Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul said to the Ephesian elders, pay careful attention to yourselves. In John 21, we've read this not too long ago, in John 21, we see that when Peter saw him, when all of these things were going on, he said, what about this guy? And Jesus said, that is not any of your business, is a paraphrase. If it's my will that he lives until I come back, then that's my will. You pay attention to yourself. You see? Think about yourself. Think about where you are. One of the most famous passages in the New Testament, Matthew 7 and verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, is followed with the idea of not pulling a speck out of someone else's eye when you have a big log in your own eye. You see? Let's look at ourselves. Don't look at the elders. Don't look at the deacons. Don't look at the preacher. Where are you right now? What have you done for Jesus this week, this month, this year? What difference in your life has being a follower of Jesus made? Have you grown in the last year? Now please remember what I said just a moment ago. We're studying this and we're looking at this so we don't drift away, so we can give God our very best. Orville said just a few moments ago how in the Old Testament it says that we're to give our first fruits, the very first of what we have. That means the very best, the fat of the land. Now for us, we want non-fat, we want no fat, we want low fat. But them, the fat was the good, you see? They wanted the very best. God wanted the very best, and that's what we give Him, you see? We're studying this and we're thinking about this. So in 2016, we can give Him the very best. How can we reach more people in 2016? Give God your very best. Have you? Are you giving God your very best? God has given you His best. That's what we looked back at just a moment ago. But are you giving Him your best? Look at your attitude. Are you joyful? Are you bitter? Hebrews 12 and verse 15 says this, see to it that no one falls or fails to obtain the grace of God, that no quote-unquote root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Have you and are you yielding to the Spirit? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19 says, quench not the Spirit. We talked for weeks and weeks earlier this year. Do you remember, church, how we can yield to the Spirit by meditating, by praying, by studying, by doing all of these things? And we could list all of them if we wanted to when we looked at Foster's Spirit of Discipline. Celebration of Discipline, when we wanted to have the Spirit in our life, we do certain things to invite Him in. We make room for Him in our heart. Have we done that? I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to get you to think. Are you doing that? Don't look at anyone else. Think about yourself. Think about where you are. Look at your motives. If you read in James chapter 2, verses 14 and following, you obviously see that there are works required. We're saved by the grace of Jesus God, Jesus Christ, rather, by the Son of God. We're saved by Him, right? By His grace. But we still have to show our faith by our works. You show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, right? That's what it says there in James chapter 2. So we realize that. But then we also have to understand the motive behind those things. It's not to earn heaven. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, verses 5 and 6, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The aim of our charge, the reason behind these things, is because we want to love, pure love, from a pure heart. You see? 1 Samuel 16, we've read it many times. God doesn't look on outward appearances. He looks on the heart, you see? God cares about that. God cares about our motives. But then we go forward. Please keep listening to me. We look backward. We remember all that God has done with us. That's the other way we phrase it if we wanted to. We remember, think about those things, dwell on those things. Whatsoever things are true and honest and just, honorable, of good report, we go on. Whatsoever things are lovely, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. God has done some amazing things in the past. God will do some amazing things in the future, and that's what we're looking at, number three. Look forward. Look forward. All of this, for the last 7 weeks, 8 weeks counting today, we've been pushing forward to 2016. We're going to announce very soon the theme for 2016. It's in the bulletin if you want to try and understand it and find where it is in there. And the scavenger hunt, that's the bulletin sometimes, to try to understand and make sure and get everything there. We hide some things sometimes. It's there for you. If you want it, then it's there. You see? But we're pushing forward to 2016. What are we going to do in 2016? Look forward to those things. Remember what Paul said, I mentioned a moment ago, in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. But one of the things that Paul says is, as many good things that have happened in the past, as many bad things that have happened in the past, as good as God has been to you in the past, He can be that much better in the future. He can do that much more in the future. Look forward to that. He goes on in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. To what we are going, we push forward, we look forward to what we are going to do for Jesus this next week, this next month. This next year, depending on how often you evaluate yourself, when you're evaluating yourself, look back at the previous week, month, year. Look at yourself where you are now and look at where you want to be. You see? Those boys who went off that dam didn't want to go over that dam. If they would have paid attention, if they would have been cautious, if they would have kept themselves from drifting away, kept their eye on the prize. In fact, that's what it says over there in Hebrews chapter 12, that we look to the finisher and author and the perfecter of our faith, you see? We keep our eyes on Him. Peter started sinking whenever he got out of the boat and walked on water, whenever he stopped looking at Jesus. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Where are we going? Look forward to those things. How will we contribute to the spiritual health of our families in 2016? How will we contribute to the outreach events in 2016? Now, this is for everyone if you want to listen, whether you're a guest or a member. What can you do in your own sphere of influence in 2016? But specifically for this church, for members here, what can you do to make us successful, to live in the grace of God, to live in His Spirit, to do the things that He wants? What can you do to make those things successful on our end in 2016? Can you pray more? Can you be there more? How will you contribute to Jesus being glorified in your place of employment? So we look at what we're going to do, and then I want you to think for a moment what God can do. We've got some things on the calendar for next year. We've got Vacation Bible School, and we've got the Fall Festival, and we've got some other activities, some seminars and whatnot that might happen. I hope you'll pay attention to the bulletin on some of those things that's coming up. But we've got several things that are approaching, all right? Those are the things that we're going to do. But what can God do, and what can we do with those things? Remember, of course, what it says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, that He is able to do more than we ask or think. He's able to do abundantly more than all that we ask or think, according to the power that's at work within us. Well, what power is at work within you? The power of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the fellowship of the saints. He's able to do more than we ask or think. Look forward to what we will receive by God's grace. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said in John 14. You remember? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms or mansions, depending on your translation. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Remember what we're doing. Don't lose sight of where we are. What are we doing this morning? Our goal is to stay in place. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah. I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. You see? No matter what happens, I'm going to stand right here. This is my place. We want to stay in Jesus. Stay in the grace of Jesus. Stay with believing in Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're trying not to drift away, but we're also trying to give God our very best. Listen to me. God wants what you have. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need us to serve him, although he has to, as though human hands were required to serve him. He doesn't live in temples made with human hands. You see? According to the New Testament, he lives in our heart. He doesn't need us to do those things, but he wants us to because it's what's best for us. Are you hearing me, church? That's what we're thinking about this morning when we evaluate ourselves, when we look back, when we look in, when we look forward. Where are you at? You will have to take an honest and potentially painful look at yourself if you want to be successful at this self-evaluation. Whatever it is, I'm not quite as strong as I want to be at this time because I stopped going to the gym. I'm not quite as skilled in my craft, whatever it may be, because I didn't read books and be mentored and look for individuals to teach me how to do better at what I'm doing. I've not fit into those pair of pants that I've been looking to fit into for a month or 6 months or a year or multiple years because I've not watched what I've eaten the way that I need to. You see, it can be painful in any area, but maybe I'm not where I need to be spiritually because I've not listened and obeyed and followed him, because I've not got the right spirit within me, the spirit of joy and the spirit of obedience and the spirit of love and the spirit of mercy and justice and faithfulness that Jesus talked about there in Matthew 23 and 23. Where are you? Pray with me. Father God, you are the only God. You're the creator of the universe. You're the one who gives us the things that we have. And Father, we're so grateful. Father, we're sorry at the way I'm sorry at the way that I've failed you in the past week, the past month, the past year, that I've perhaps not been the teacher or the husband or the father that I could be. And Father, maybe there's others in this room, and as a church, we certainly haven't done as much as we possibly could. And Father, we repent of that. And Father, we ask you to give us the right attitude, to create in us a pure heart and a clean heart so that we can look honestly at ourselves and make sure that 2016 is the best year ever. Father, we pray that you bless our elders and our shepherds, our deacons, our servants, our husbands and fathers, our mothers and wives, all the individuals who serve here and in the places that they're employed and in the places that they serve here in this body. Father, we're just so thankful for them, and we pray that we'll do everything we can to grow in you and to live in you this year. Father, we thank you, and we ask you to help us to do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. We always offer an invitation, but I want you to hear this. Please listen just for one more moment. We always offer an invitation on Sunday morning, but the invitation is available to you on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday as well. Take some of the things about looking back and looking in and looking forward that you heard this morning and dwell on those for a bit. And whenever you've dwelt on those for a bit and you want to make a change in your life and you want to talk about it with someone, then we're available for you. But we're also available right now as together we stand and as we sing.